The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. What is our source and our resource? We're going to look at that as well as the rabbinical outline of what the youngest means. What does it mean when Jesus says the youngest is how we're supposed to be? And finally, if people are already chosen by God, do we still need to share the truth?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Those phone numbers, those numbers right there, they will not bite. I promise. Any topic is open for conversation, primarily because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. First, I want to say we were going to have our good friend Clint in, but that did not transpire because he had some people calling. It was short, so he had to fill in today at his own place. So we'll start off our show by giving acknowledgement to Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, wind, flood, and smoke cleanup, any kind of restoration service, anything at all, 24/7. You know what's good about 24/7? That means all the time. They have an emergency response team that's on site within 60 minutes, thousands of happy customers, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies, and they're A-plus rated with the BBB, MrRestore.com. There you go. MrRestore.com. Any problems, any issues, anything at all, you can also reach them through our site, HeMustIncrease.org. You let Clint know, hey, I heard it on the David Spoon Experience. He might give you a lollipop, but probably not. Let me say hello to Wonder Julie, see how the thing is going for today. How you doing, Wonder Julie?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just want to check and see if you know what the holidays are today.
I do not.
All right. Today,
please share.
Okay, here you go. Ready? Today is Daisy Day. If you're a Daisy person, that's good. I'm not a Daisy person.
Aww, but my big white dog was Daisy.
Yeah. All right. Well, fun at work day. That never happens.
Oh, I have fun at work every day.
Oh, you're so good. National Blueberry Pancake Day.
I like me blueberries.
All right. That's good.
You can keep the pancake.
All right. But the blueberries are good. And then National Kazoo Day.
Yeah.
Remember the kazoo? Little plastic piece that, that's amazing, isn't it? I want to give a shout out to my son-in-law, best son-in-law in the universe, Jared. Happy birthday to you, my son. He's a great kid. I mean, he's just, I could not ask for somebody better to be married to my daughter. I mean, he's better than I'd ever be as a human being.
Well, that's not saying much. I'm teasing.
Kind of a low bar there, wasn't it? All right, fine. For those that do not know, on this day in 1855, the first locomotive runs from Atlantic to the Pacific. Interesting. 1901, on this day, baseball is actually technically formed. The American League is formed consisting of eight baseball teams. I did not know that. United States Coast Guard was created on this day in 1915. And for those that do not know, this will help you just a little bit. Ready? Bus, the plane. Guess what that was from?
Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island, created on this day in 1978. For those who remember that, kind of a cool, goofy, weird little show. We give it props just because we think it's got its own little interest in it. Let's go. So we're going to try to have Clint on. I did not ask you because we just didn't talk before the show, but did you get those files of music that I did send to you?
I did.
But are we going to use one of them? You can't use the other one because we're not doing expository. But are we going to be able to use one of them?
I have them both. One of them I had to reconfigure. It was too hot. It was way too loud.
What do you think? I'm like a quiet guy?
No, you couldn't understand what it said. It just went, eh.
Oh.
And then I brought it down somewhere. I was like, there's
words in this. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. All right, here we go. Here's something that a lot of you need to remember. Now, I need to remember this more than you. So I'm just going to give you a quick update. Every single thing is done for me to do this PhD, except for 60 seconds that I need to click on a button and say yes.
Don't be afraid.
I am so afraid. Before I go down there, I want to do a little bit of sharing, and I want people praying for me. I mean, I want to make the best possible decision. This is going to be a big part of my life. And, you know, my wife, 100% support. Here's how she supports me. Honey, whatever you want, if you want to do it, I support you. If you don't want to do it, I support you. What a perfect place to be, so she has no blame whatsoever.
But how'd everything lay out for you? Isn't it a free ride? You know?
It's not entirely a free ride, as often the case is. And then the biggest element is the time consumption. So I'm looking at adding 20 hours a week to my week. It's like, So I need the Lord to come in and say, what else you got?
Yeah. I'm not good enough?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I always thought a master's in theological study would do it, but sure. Apparently.
Sure. David, just go ahead and lay on the couch with your ice cream.
That's it. Right there. All right. So let's get into this. Here's this I've got two really classic verses that we're going to be talking about today. Here's one that you should know. It's out of Genesis 1:1. For those that don't know what Genesis 1:1 is, it's the first verse in the Bible. In the Old Testament. In fact, the New Testament in the Gospel of John goes back to it. Ready? Here you go. Ready? In the beginning, God. Okay, it's just... I think I'd mentioned this story before. I was having a really hard time sleeping one evening, really struggling with just general life. And, you know, we were in Valley Center, I think, California. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't sleep. And I got up and I turned the TV on. I hardly ever, now or then, turned the TV on. Just happened to be landed on a station that was broadcasting, religious broadcasting. And E.V. Hill was on. And that guy got up there, and I'm watching. I'm a big fan of teachers and preachers. I like people. I like people when they communicate. I like people when they encourage. He got up there, and he went, in the beginning, God. And he spent, and I kid you not, 45 minutes on this one text, and he did such a profoundly good job. I don't care if you agree with him or disagree with him on all of his theologies, or if you were aligned with him or weren't aligned with him. I don't care. His point was solid in this realm. God is our source and our resource. And that was his entire message. You know, he got into, you know, some of the other elements, and I'll use some of them, and some of them I'll add on my own. You know, people talk about, well, I believe they're in the Big Bang Theory, okay? And we did discuss this in the past. Big Bang, great. So there was a Big Bang, so something happened, and when there was some kind of explosion. Who shot the gun? Who shot the gun on the Big Bang Theory? The other problem is that you have evolution. People don't talk about this very much. So evolution, well, evolution happened, okay? Well, evolution, how that had to happen was not just one formation of a life, but then there had to be another formation of another life at the exact same time that together can produce a third formation of life Oh, now the odds are going crazy, right? Instead of just one, it's just like now we're going all the way down. Because remember, you had to have a male, you had to have a female in order to create a third. So now we're statistically, we're off the charts. I always thought this was funny, though, about evolution that nobody wants to talk about. Well, evolution. But save the spotted owl. Yeah, that doesn't work. If you're a believer in evolution, spotted owl's got to go. If the spotted owl can't hang, it's survival of the fittest. Sorry. But this is the one that always drove me the battiest was there was nothing. Now watch this. Watch this. I give R.C. Sproul all the credit in the world for this. There was nothing, and then they say there was something. Just stop. There was nothing, and then there was something. How'd that happen?
Well, I don't know.
Wait. There was nothing, and then there was something? See, that's as bizarre as it could be. There's nothing. Now there's something. Watch me do it again. Abracadabra. So his whole point, E.V. Hill's whole point in the message is, look, in the beginning, God. You might not understand it all. You might not grasp it all. But from a creational point of view, in the beginning is God. And if God starts something, he's not the type, as his word reveals, that he starts it and then he goes, you know, I'm done with this. I'm going to go leave this and go somewhere else. That's what deists believe. It's a very bizarre thinking process. And no, George Washington was not a deist. So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that there is no corner around the corner for God because he has no corners. He sees above all things. And so when we look at things with a certain sense of uncertainty, even what I'm going through, what you're going through, what the result for my grandchild's going to be, there's an uncertainty on my end, but there's not an uncertainty on God's end. He is holding all these things in the palm of his hand. He is making a way. He is our source and our resource. And the way you move forward in something is you believe that God is at the beginning. And if he's at the beginning, he's in the middle, and he's at the end. He's the creator. And so if you have to make a decision and you're trying to walk out in a brand new life and just get involved in something new or something courageous, the great thing about that is that you can be aware that in the beginning, God, and from Genesis 1:1, we understand he's our source and he's our resource. We don't need to know what the future holds. We just need to know him who holds the future. And when we face that on future with uncertainty or fear or anxiety, we've moved him out of the picture of what we're looking at. We got to walk out today with a brand new day, a brand new mindset. You know, God's in the beginning. He's got things rolling. He's not confused. He's not. He doesn't have my life on a flash drive, and then he lost the flash drive like I would do, which I have done. He knows everything. He's got it covered. He's the big G. He's got it covered. And he's our source and our resource. Now, what's cool about that is a source is where it starts. And a resource is where it's replenished. Oh, that's good. I know. If I could just remember that, I'd be so good. If everything I ever taught on this show I remembered, I would be like, you know, whew, I'd be walking way up there. Unfortunately, I'm older, so it doesn't work that way. So I got to remind myself, and I got to remind you, and I got to remind everybody around me. And I need them to remind me. Why? Because I need help. That's why. The same reason you need to be reminded. Because you need help. God. In the beginning, God. Our source and our resource. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry. Okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy, showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and is summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach us, 972-445-0770. You can always call and say, "Howdy." Website, hemustincrease.org. I do want to let you know, on hemustincrease.org, there is a donation button for our nonprofit. Yep. So bottom line is, we're asking people to help out so we can advance how often we're heard and how far we reach. I mean, that's one of our things that we're looking to do. We want to increase our time and expand. And so we're just asking for people to help. You have a tax-deductible donation opportunity to help us out. We're not looking for people to give away the farm. Well, first of all, I'm not a farmer. So giving me a farm would do me no good. Okay? And when they're talking about seeds and Jesus talking about the seed sowing and so on, I get it. I just, you know, I mean, Jesus used baseball. Anyhow, the idea behind that is that we are advancing the kingdom. We are doing our best to minister, to speak, and to encourage. And I encourage you to participate, but I also encourage you to never, ever, ever, ever feel bad or guilty about not being able to do something with any ministry anywhere at any time. In every situation, Romans 15:30 makes it absolutely clear that you can join a struggle by praying for somebody or by praying for a situation. If that's what you can do, we would love it. We would appreciate it. It would be awesome. Okay? Okay. All right, we're not going to do the new one yet. We're going to go over back over to Johnny, who will be on the show. We just got this done. So Friday, he's coming on the show. He's going to do another share. He's going to do another lead in that. And we want to just give props to Men of God Moving.
Well, we're moving on now.
I love that. It's just so good. MenofGodMoving.com. You can go to Facebook and type in Men of God Moving. You can go to HeMustIncrease.org. And also there is a link to Men of God Moving. If you need somebody to move you and you just cannot pay $16 trillion, bazillion, gazillion dollars for a move, Then Johnny, that's the people you want to talk to, Men of God Moving. They are, not only are they have a great price, they do everything from exotically huge homes to extremely small apartments and or offices. They help on every range. Get in touch with him. He'll be glad to help you. If you mention the David Spoon Experience, he gives you a discount because he has to. He doesn't have to. We just ask him to, and he likes to. It's part of what he does. All right, trivia. Let's see if I can pull the trivia together. Here we go. Here's the trivia question. Ready? 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 All right. Which believer shared the gospel with the Ethiopian official on the road to Gaza? Okay, I'm changing that word apostle because that is not the word that's in the Greek in this case. Not that he wasn't, I'm just saying it wasn't. Which of the seven shared the gospel with an Ethiopian official on the road to Gaza? Which one was it? If you think you know, you're welcome to call. As soon as I can find our number, 972-445-0770. And we encourage you to call. And again, if you know that, great. If you don't know that, it's in the book of Acts. You can look through your concordance. That's fine. Just don't do a cheap kind of searchy kind of thing for it. That's the only thing I'm trying to get people to avoid. All right, it has been said on more than one occasion that Jesus has called us to this position of being more like a youngster in regards to some of our processing. People like myself have taken some of the words of Jesus perhaps too far when it says that we need to be like a child, and then sometimes I think I can do it. I can be like a child, and then I get verification from that from my in-laws. It's not really the goal there that's going on, so I want to be careful about that. Here is what I'm talking about. It's going to come out of Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 26. Wait, but we do have somebody calling in on the answer to the trivia question, so let's go there first. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Dave, this is Bobby. How you doing
today? Hey, Bobby, how are you, man? How are things going for you?
Oh, bless the Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, my brother, which of the seven, which of the disciples, which of the people who were strong in their early church shared the gospel with the Ethiopian official on the road to Gaza?
Philip.
That is correct, sir. You are right. Okay, here's a follow-up for you. I'm not expecting you to get it, but I'm just asking you. Do you remember what book the Ethiopian was reading, what book of the Bible, when Philip came up to him and talked to him?
Me with Isaiah 53.
Isaiah, you got rolling, brother. Good job. Excellent, my friend. Excellent, excellent job. So that's just a great way to start this show. You nailed it down. You're doing good in life? You're doing okay?
Oh, yeah, praise God. Just trying to follow the Holy Spirit and learn more of the teach me.
All right, you got it, man. Thank you for calling, and thank you for being a part of the show. You know how much we appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, God bless you, brother.
Likewise.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Good job, Bobby. Excellent work. All right, let's go to what this whole youngest element is. Luke chapter 22, verse 24 through 26 says this: "Then a dispute also arose among them about who should be considered the greatest. But he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles dominate them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and whoever leads like one serving.'" So we hear that passage and you think, what does that mean to become like the youngest? What does that mean? I mean, I'm older. I have some wisdom. I know what's going on. I know what to do. What does that mean? And so there are five main characteristics of a youngest, a person who is going into a serving position, trying to grow and develop and continue moving forward, have these five rabbinically defined characteristics. Ready? 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 First and foremost, the youngest is eager to learn. When you think you have arrived I promise you, you are at a hiccup in the road, because you educationally, knowledge-wise, growth-wise, can always grow in the Lord. Watch this. Even if you have a eidetic memory, a photographic memory, doesn't even matter. You can grow in the Lord, continually learning as you become more and more like him until you reflect him exactly. There is nothing but room for growth. Never think in your mind, never think in your heart, you are so far along, so good, that you have nowhere to grow, nowhere to learn, so to speak. There's always more to learn, okay? Don't be so knowledgeable. There's a great book. Wayne Cadero wrote a book about the guy that brought the martial arts to the island of Japan, and he was a triple black belt, I think seventh degree black belt, and when he was about to die, he said, bury me in a white belt. And they're like, why would we bury you in a white belt? And he goes, because I know nothing, but I'm going to learn. Like, ooh, good one. I mean, that's a great, great process. So the youngest is eager to learn, eager to serve. Now, there's a lot of us that think that, you know, well, serving, I mean, what, waiting tables, what, helping somebody with the groceries, opening the door, doing something along those are all sexist-y kind of weird. Listen. Dopey people say dopey things like that all the time. Be eager to serve. If you're in your church and they're like, hey, we're looking for somebody to pass out flyers, be a part of it. We're looking for somebody to help with communion. We're looking for somebody to help do this. We're looking for somebody to help do that. Can anybody help us out with this? That is an opportunity to serve. If you are physically able and you can do it, do so. We're looking for people to be on the prayer team. We're looking for people to talk to people. We're looking for people to help us on phones. We're looking for this. We're looking for that. Be eager to serve. Never be so smart you can't learn, and never be mature that you can't be serving. And then with that is growing. And when I say growing, it's like you're never done in the process. You recognize that until you exactly reflect Jesus, you got a long way to go. Just got a long way to go. And here's that fourth characteristic, and it's probably the most important. If a youngest person who's striving to grow in their development is eager to help. And helping is connected to learning, connected to growing, connected to serving. Be a helper. Don't be hamburger helper. Be a helper. Be somebody who helps. Be a part of the solution. If your church puts things away at the end of the service because they got to clean up, be somebody who picks up the extra flyers. Be somebody who greets people as they leave. Make sure that you help in any way you can. Offer yourself. I promise you, if you offer your services to a church, they'll find a place for you. The most amazing thing is there's always stuff to do. So be that person that does that. And then, so you got the first is to learn, the next is to serve, the next is to grow, the next is to help, and the last is to honor. And the great definition of honor, really in the Hebrew and in the Greek, although it's much more in the Hebrew, is to be in consideration of, to think of others at the forefront of your thought, more so than you're thinking of your own wellness. To figure out a way to bless others, to honor them and let them know, get ready, how much you appreciate them. You want to honor somebody? Let them know you appreciate them. You've heard me say it before, and you'll hear me say it again. You want to honor somebody? Appreciate them and let them know they're appreciated. And that is a great way, these five characteristics, to learn, to serve, to grow, to help, and to honor. These are the characteristics of the youngest. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope, federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
I got nothing to say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
You're here when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to get any of our music, our in and out music, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com under the Hymn, H-Y-M-N project. You can reach the show. That's better. You can reach the show by calling 972-445-0770 and say howdy or say, man, that's not a very professional show, but then I would refer you to the very beginning. Website, hemustincrease.org, which will have all of our stuff on it, the way to get in touch with us, all of our ministry partners. It has all of the different things we're doing, different projects, different sound clips, different video clips. There's 70 videos. There's a lot of different stuff, 2,500 hours in pods. Tons of stuff to pull from right then and there in your hand. We're going to try one of our newer sounds. If this sound does not work, it is not Wonder Julie's fault. It is my fault because I am terrible at pulling this stuff together. But this is for Kimberly McQuinn. Like that, kind of. I mean, that's not bad, but you're right. It's loud, huh? Is that the one that was hot, or is it the other one?
No, it was the other one.
Oh, the other one was hot?
Yeah.
What was that? Oh, my goodness, I'm in trouble. Anyhow, Kimberly McQuinn, Ellis, she's going to be on our show either the 4th or the 11th. Now, look it. She's been a broker. She's a real estate associate with Fathom Realty. She knows her stuff. She's connected to the same company that Aunt Deb is. We love Aunt Deb. Aunt Deb's on our board. We think she's great. Let me just explain to you real quickly. Listen to her phone number. Now, she went out of her way to get this. 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES. And we're going to have our link up there. First, she got our website. She got her stuff going. I got to add all that linkage stuff this weekend. So you'll be able to link directly from him. Go to hemustincrease.org and get in touch with her. She knows her business. It doesn't matter whether you're a first-time buyer, an experienced investor, foreclosure, you got a short sale, whatever. If you need a short sale, you're looking to pick up something, it does not matter. Her experience far exceeds the typical needs for real estate. She is that well informed and that well connected and that well in understanding on how to take care of clientele for real estate. We're very excited to have her on. Her and Tony, her husband, great people, and we love that they're a part of what we're doing, and we love that they support the ministry. We just think ministry partners are cool. But I'm entitled to that. I believe that. All right. I have an age-old question that we're going to go right into. Not an easy question for anybody to answer. So here we go. Get ready. Why, if God has already chosen certain people to be his, then why do we fight to share salvation and advance his kingdom? All right, so I'm going to give you a verse, and then I'm going to come back to the why. And then we're going to kind of talk about that just for a little bit. So 1 Peter chapter 2, the last half of verse 7 and verse 8 says this: "But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." I know we should probably capture that at some point, that sound. So what we have is a question of free will versus predestination. Guess what we're not going to do in the next 4.5 minutes on a AM station, Christian radio station? We're not going to resolve the theological issue that has emerged and burned in people's minds for thousands of years. There are scriptures that say, whosoever may call upon the name of the Lord, and a great, great teaching on that came from Dr. Price when he said, whosoever is, ready?
Whosoever. It's the right.
And another great teaching comes on the other side of that from people, all the way across the spectrum. So you got, all the way from every teacher you could name, every teacher has put in a fantastic teaching. And what's most amazing about it is that the question becomes, why do people have to share the gospel if the gospel people are already chosen? And the most direct answer to that is this: there is a substantial difference between what God knows and what you know. Predestination has reality to it. It's in the book. Free will has reality to it. It's in the book. But for God, they're not contrary. For you and me, they're contrary. So the question becomes, well, how is it that God takes these two concepts that we don't grasp, and then we don't even grasp them in their fullness? We don't even fully understand free will, because free will sounds great until what? A piano falls on your head, right? And then predestination sounds great unless you say, look at all the effort I've put into this and created this thing with everything that I've got. Of course, both of those negate God's interaction in them, which is a big part of it. God knows who's putting in the time, because he has foreknowledge, knows who's not putting in the time, knows who's choosing, knows not who's choosing, but that does not determine them, the choosing part. Here's why it gets so weird: because God has no conflict in free will and predestination. We do. And God's not up there going, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to answer them. So in my theology, I'm just saying, I'm sharing, this is not the way you should look at it. I'm not saying this is the only way to look at it. I'm offering a third position. You might say to me, I believe in predestination. You might say, I believe in free will. You might say, I believe in foreknowledge. You might say, I believe in destiny. I believe in all of that. I don't think any of that's excluded. I just merge them all. And how I do that is I say, God knows, he's just not telling. And you think, well, that's just overly simplistic. Here's why you witness. Here's why you share the truth. Here's why you share the gospel. You're commanded to. You know why you love your neighbor as you love yourself? You're commanded to. You know why you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? He told you to. You know why you share the gospel truth with people? God told you to. You're not responsible for whether the gospel message takes root or not. Only God can create that salvation in a person's heart. All you can do is be a messenger. Why be the messenger? Because you are required to be the messenger by God's command. And so you don't get away from it. People are like, well, no, but that's just circular reasoning. No. When God tells you to do something, you do it, whether you get it or not, period. There's plenty of times where I pay my tithes, where I look up to heaven and go, really? But the issue comes back to, do I trust God with him handling my money? Though I trust him that he'll bless my 90% better than I can coordinate my 100%? That's the question. And the question is, do you believe that God has a plan that's beyond you? Sometimes God wants to share that truth, and that'll be the very thing that brings a person in. Sometimes God has you share that truth, and that'll be the very thing that sets them out, and they'll never be a part of it. It's not up for you to decide. Your job is to do your job. Jesus said it quite clearly to Peter when he was dealing with Peter and John. When he said to John, this is going to be this, you're going to see this. Peter's like, he said to Peter, you're going to be crucified, it's going to be ugly. And he's like, well, what about that guy? What about John? I don't want to be the only one getting picked on. And Jesus goes, what's that your business? You do what you're told to do. Get to work, son. Well, you don't understand, Dave. I'm required to know all of the truths, the great and grand truth. Really? When? When did God appoint you the arbiter of all great truth that he holds? Here's a classic passage that shows you it goes in both directions. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. What inscription is that, Dave? It's this inscription. One, the Lord knows those who are his. Got it? And two, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In one verse, you find out that God knows what's going on, but people don't. And that's how you look at these things. You look at it and you go, well, God's knowledge, he has merged this the perfect way, and only by his grace and his wisdom, his fairness and his righteousness could this ever be put together. Exactly. And I will say this, if God wanted to make it super simple for everybody to grasp, he would have. But he didn't. What he did say was, go tell people. What he didn't say was how that aorta salutis will work out. So you have a choice, obey or disobey. Well, I want to know what's going on. Well, congratulations, so do I. I want to know what's going on 5 minutes from now, let alone another person's salvation. I want to know how it's going to be driving home so that I don't get sideswiped by a truck, let alone what a person makes a decision for eternity. I want to know that I'm going to have enough money in the bank to pay rent, let alone how a person is going to approach the kingdom of God. Come on. I just do what the Lord sets before me the best I can, just like you're supposed to, just like we're all supposed to. And I have confidence in the faithfulness and goodness of God. That's how I do it. I merge it and trust God for it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind,
destroying. Sometimes. Sometimes things go according to plan, sometimes not so much. The Lord will always help His kids, but He does want us to use the wisdom He gave us as well. Insurance solutions are a great key for using preventative wisdom. If things do go in a tougher direction, insurance can be used to fill in the gap. There's biblical evidence for preparing for the future. King David did this for Solomon and the temple. Stephanie Vasquez has joined forces with New York Life Insurance Company to help provide insurance needs to fill in the gap. Stephanie hopes you never have to use the insurance she brings to you for life solutions. But if you do, it's good to know there's someone there who can help. Stephanie Vasquez will help you fill in the gaps. Call her today at 214-499-5378 or go to LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. That's LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. Stephanie Vasquez, New York Life Insurance, and you. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, you can call us 972-445-0770 and say, howdy. You're also welcome to go to our website, hemustincrease.org, where we have everything you need. In fact, you can even find a kitchen sink there. That's how much stuff we have on the website. Everything plus the kitchen sink is on the website. There you go. That's a lot of stuff. All righty. Let's give a shout out to Stephanie Vasquez.
If you got a problem, don't care what it is. If you need a hand, I can assure you this. I can help.
Another excellent ministry partner, Stephanie, by the way, is going to be in the studio a week from Thursday. I think she's coming in a week from Thursday. Very excited to have her come into the studio, get a chance to talk to her. You guys get a chance to know her more. Here's the bottom line. If you're a person that has not put together any plan at all on creating a savings, if you're deep into savings and you've got, you know, financial planners up over here and over there and just everywhere and you got all this stuff, you know, that she's not going to help you the same way she's going to help somebody who's trying to start and put it together and then to think, what's the steps that I take? How do I create this? How do I separate this? It's not like a magic pill. It's just some good planning. That's really what it is. And you make some good planning, and she's got some excellent material from an excellent company. New York Life Insurance is an excellent company. They've done a good job teaching people how to save. And I just happen to know because I've been the beneficiary of that very experience. And so we encourage you either to go to our website and click on her links. You can also go to LinkedIn, type in Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. You go to Facebook, type in Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. Call her directly at 214-499-5378. That's 214-499-5378. Okay. What do we got? Today's Tuesday. We got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I think we got the Super Bowl coming up this week. I think that's supposed to be exciting for some people. Good time to eat, good time to do stuff. And so if you're looking forward to that, that's good. Just behave. By the way, it is a fact that that Monday after the Super Bowl is the number one day that people call in sick for work. So if you magically get sick Sunday night, you're gonna create a little suspicion. I'm warning you. I'm just telling you. That's the truth. Don't get mad at me. I'm not the one that puts all these stats together. So I have these wonderful moments with the Lord and fellowship, and I try to share them all because I think that some of them are really worth sharing. And so one of the things that happened to me, you've heard that me talk about it on the show, you've heard me in my testimony, and you've heard one of the cuts talk about this one passage in John chapter 11, verse 35 that says, Jesus wept. Now, it is the shortest verse. It's two words. Nine letters, okay? Nine letters. But there is so much power in this text, I want you to be aware that just because something's short or shorter doesn't mean that it's not full of power. And by way of example, let's just use scripture as a matter of fact. As I recall, and I could be wrong about this, but as I recall, Goliath was substantially bigger than David. Yeah, how'd that work out? So it's not always that the bigger is the better. In fact, that'd be a good bumper sticker. Bigger isn't always better. Dash. Goliath.
That's a good one.
So you have this short, small verse, and it talks about Jesus wept. And for guys, some guys, it's like, well, men don't cry. Okay, you will never be, no matter how manly you are, you will never be the man that Jesus Christ was, who willfully took our sins, even had the opportunity to miss out and take that away, took the sins of the entire world, every sin that I committed, you committed, everybody, literally on him voluntarily, not a victim of the death penalty, like some dopey people say, but voluntarily took upon him the pain of death for the benefit of mankind. That's a man. But when it says that Jesus wept, I believe in my heart, and I know there's other people that have kind of a different view, and it's not an issue of fellowship or anything, but I believe in my heart strongly that Jesus did not weep for Lazarus, who was dead, because he had already mentioned that he was about to raise, he's going to get Lazarus up. He knew what was going on. Just read the whole text in John 11. Jesus was not unaware of what was taking place. But what about all the people around him that were just oozing out the pain? That weeping had to do with those people's pain because Lazarus was getting up. Another 5 minutes, that guy was going to be dusting off. But Jesus knows that process that you go through that's painful. Acts chapter 9, verse 4 and 5 says, falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Isn't it ironic that up to that point, Saul had been arresting men and women, believers in the Lord, throwing them in jail, approving of their death because they were followers of Jesus. And Jesus so closely identified with his people that he said, Saul, you know, you're persecuting me. Well, I was throwing those people in jail. Yeah, but that's like throwing me in jail. That's like approving of my death. You see, the Lord so associates with us, so connects to us. I think there's a big loss because God, for some people, is like a gaseous, you know, a gaseous entity on some foreign planet. It's like, that is not what is going on. He has such compassion for us and such mercy. He wants us to be able to make these decisions, but knows that so many of the decisions we make, they're terrible. They're awful decisions. And he weeps for us, and he weeps for the pain that we go through, and he weeps for the hurt. And even when he challenges Saul, he said, "Why are you persecuting me? I'm doing this to your kids. That's me." In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9, it says, "In all their distress, he too was distressed." Did you hear that? Listen to this. Isaiah 63, 9. "In all their distress, he too was distressed." Do you know that distress that you feel? God knows that distress in you. And the angel of his presence saved them in his love and his mercy. He redeemed them. God knows that pain. God knows that discomfort. He knows that distress. He knows that hurt. There's just these weird, I say, well, that's not the God that I understand about. You don't understand. You know, people say, that's not the kind of God I would serve. You wouldn't know God if he hit you across the head, some of those people. They wouldn't know God from a brown paper bag. I mean, come on. God is so passionate for his people. And the arrogant mock and make fun of. Well, go ahead. Comes a day that comes to an end. But the truth is that God bleeds for his people. I mean, literally bleeds for his people. He weeps for his people. He identifies and connects to his people. He loves his people and wants his people to know he's there. He's a part of it. He's connected to them. Remember, it's a fallen world that told God, "Hey, we'll run the planet without you, pal." That's what he has to push past. That's what he has to get through. His own creation rejecting him, like his own child spitting in his face as a father, when all he tried to do was help. He knows. He knows that hurt. He knows that pain. And he weeps with you and for you. And he is the place to go for that comfort, for that grace, for that moment, for that sustaining. He is the place to go. And his arms are always open out wide. He doesn't push you away. He tries to pull you in, even if we don't get it, and even if we don't like it. He's still there trying to love us. Only a perfect parent. Folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.